to think about. You might be tempted to jump right in and start cleaning. You're motivated, you want to make changes, and that's great. But before you get started, it's important to understand why you feel the way you do about cleaning, what you'd like to accomplish, and what's standing in your way. What do you want from your home? Why can't you get it? How can you get started? What do you do when life happens? What's your end game? Listen, let's just get this out of the way. Cleaning is terrible, and almost no one likes it. It can be hard to motivate yourself to do something you hate, especially if you feel like there's no payoff. So before you start, it's a good idea to know where you want to end up. Picture that all your hard work has paid off and your home is in its ideal state. What does that look and feel like for you? Choose the words that fit best and add your own. Bright, warm, cool, calm, cozy, spacious, soft, sleek, comforting, minimal, familiar, inviting, organized, quiet, active, serene, lively, tranquil. What's the first thing you want to do in your ideal home? Have friends over? Cook a big family dinner? Retreat to work on art? Sit and read your favorite book? Write about how you're going to want to use your space once you have it how you want it. Wouldn't it be nice to have people over? How does your home make you feel? It's no surprise that the state of your home can evoke strong emotions. Ideally, those emotions would all be positive, but realistically, they probably aren't. Figuring out how your environment makes you feel can help you learn how to make it better. Choose the emotions that come to mind when you think of your home. Stressed out? Angry? Resentful? Discouraged? Depressed? Anxious? Guilty? Frustrated? You matter enough to have a nice place to live. How would you like it to make you feel? Calm? Peaceful? Accomplished? Organized? Happy? Proud? Content? I make no secret of the fact that I would rather lie on a sofa than sweep beneath it. Shirley Conran, Superwoman. Where's your retreat space? Everyone should have at least one spot in their home where they can fully relax, renew, and forget that the rest of the world even exists. Do you have a space like that? If not, think about where you could create one. What might make a good retreat space? If you could make your dream retreat space, what would you like it to be or to have? What kind of seating, decor, what colors are you imagining? Are there plants, pictures, etc.? Roadblocks. Everyone has their own reasons why cleaning is difficult, whether those reasons are external or internal, physical, mental, or emotional. Think about what acts as a roadblock for you, preventing you from getting your mess under control. Once you identify why this is hard for you, you can start figuring out how to work with or around your roadblocks. Choose any of the reasons that apply to you or list your own. Mental illness, disability, chronic illness or pain, learn to hate cleaning in childhood, don't know how, work or school full-time, live with someone who makes it difficult, just don't feel like it, doesn't feel worth it. As far as I'm concerned, a house should look lived in, and I consider it clean as long as I don't stick to it and it doesn't give me cholera. Jenny Lawson, Let's Pretend This Never Happened, a mostly true memoir. Failure is a gift. Chances are, if you've picked up this journal, you've tried and failed to get your mess under control in the past, maybe even a whole bunch of times. You might be feeling like a failure, and that's okay. But there's always an opportunity to learn from our failures. So let's try that before you get too down on yourself. Think about what you've tried. Why do you think you didn't succeed with it? What part or parts didn't work for you or your life? Why did you ultimately give up? Why did you start this journal? Good news. No matter how many times you've tried, you can always start again. And with the right outlook, you can't fail because you can begin again whenever you want. Every day is a new opportunity for success. Feeling like a failure one day? The clock resets right away and you have a fresh chance all over again. It's not a failure, it's an opportunity to try again. It doesn't have to be perfect, it just has to be better. Letting go of perfectionism. So many people avoid cleaning up because we feel like if we can't do it perfectly or completely, why bother doing it at all? That's totally understandable, but it's one of the reasons self-proclaimed perfectionists are often drowning in our own crap without ever getting it under control. Letting go of the idea that everything needs to be completely and perfectly done can be difficult, but embracing good enough instead of perfect can help you get started and get your mess under control, even if it's only a little bit at a time. If you consider yourself a perfectionist, try setting a timer for 5, 10, or 20 minutes and cleaning up what you can in that time. When the timer goes off, make yourself stop. Once you've done this, look around. Does it look any better than it did when you started? Describe what you see. Try to keep working this way when you can. You'll eventually train yourself to let go of perfect and be content with good enough. What are you holding on to because of guilt or other emotions? Emotion can keep us hanging on to things we should have gotten rid of long ago, whether it's sentiment because of the person associated with an item or guilt about a gift we feel we need to keep forever. Emotion can rule out decisions about what to keep and what to get rid of. Things don't have feelings, though, so really, you only need to worry about your own. List a few things you'd get rid of if not for the emotion keeping you from doing so. Gifts we don't really want can cause us a great deal of stress. For the most part, though, if the giver knows that you have received their gift and enjoy it, this part doesn't need to be true, you are not obligated to keep it forever. You can get rid of gifts. It's okay. They're yours now, and it's up to you to decide their fate. If you don't love it, you don't have to keep it. Start where you are. It's easy to be so overwhelmed by your mess that you feel like there's nowhere to start. When you feel that way, chances are you're just not going to start at all, and that's not doing you any good. Guess what, though? You can start anytime, wherever you and your mess are. Think of that one thing about your home that's stressing you out the most. You're probably going to be tempted to say everything, but try to pick one thing that stands out a little more from everything else. Dirty kitchen, multiple months' worth of clothes to put away, a cluttered and unusable dining room table. Write it down. You're going to start there. Set a timer for 20 minutes and do what you can in that time. When you're done, come back and record how you feel now that the first 20 minutes are done. This is part of what I meant about housework. If it isn't important, what is? If it isn't done honorably, where is honor? Ursula K. Le Guin, Voices. Reward planning. Wouldn't it be great if we were all motivated to do things simply for the satisfaction of doing them? Unfortunately, it so rarely works that way. We're human. We like nice things, and we hate having to work hard if there isn't anything in it for us. Rewards are great and can take many different forms. When you think about how to reward yourself, don't just think about material things. Also consider experiences that you enjoy. Rewards don't have to cost money or take a lot of effort. They can be as simple as taking a walk in nature or playing with a pet or relaxing with a video game. What rewards, big or small, tangible or intangible, might motivate you to do some not fun tasks? Revisit this list as often as you need to. It's important to feel like your hard work is paying off, and aside from the feeling of accomplishment you'll have, a reward you enjoy is a great way to avoid feeling like all your work has been in vain. So you think you're beyond help. Sometimes it's all going to feel completely hopeless. You've tried so many times, and nothing seems to work. It's no surprise that feeling that way might lead you to believe that nothing will get better. Some good news, though. No matter how bad it is, no matter how long you've been trying and failing to deal with your mess, it can get better. You can make it better. You're using this journal because you still want to succeed and you're willing to try again. What's one tiny thing you can do right now? Don't think about the big picture. Think about something that'll take just a minute and that won't take a lot out of you. Here are a few ideas if you can't come up with anything. Throw away some trash. Collect dishes from the room you're in. Put a few things away from the nearest flat surface. Wipe down a countertop. Put some dirty clothes in the hamper. Put a few pieces of clean clothes away. What can you do that's quick and easy? Okay, now, go do that. Once it's done, check in with how you're feeling. Does everything still feel hopeless? If no, give it another shot with another tiny task. And this mess is so big and so deep and so tall, we cannot pick it up. There is no way at all. Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat. Feeling discouraged? Sometimes it's difficult to celebrate our progress when we haven't accomplished as much as we'd like to. We tend to look at accomplishments as finish lines, not as checkpoints along the way. But this can prevent us from making progress. Try reframing your perception of progress by keeping track of what you have done, as opposed to what you haven't. Instead of feeling discouraged at all the work left to do, let yourself be motivated by, and proud of, what you've completed. List 5 home-related things you've accomplished recently, no matter how small. It counts even if it's just a part of a larger project, even if it seems insignificant. You can start over again anytime. Someone is dropping by in 20 minutes. Do those words make you want to freak out a little bit? A lot? Is there swearing involved? Be honest. How would you feel if you found out right now that an unannounced guest was en route to your home? How long, realistically, do you think it would take to get your home guest ready? Do you think your guests deserve a better version of your home than the one you live in every day? Why or why not? Think about the concept of company ready and ask yourself what you ready looks like. Would you want the everyday reality of your home to be a version in which anyone can stop by at any time? If your house is really a mess and a stranger comes to the door, greet him with, "Who could have done this? We have no enemies." Phyllis Diller. Things you can do on a depression pain day. Some days you want to do more than you're physically able to do. If you're living with mental illness, chronic pain, or physical disability, it's important to work within what the circumstances of your life will allow. But just because you're having an off day doesn't mean you can't accomplish anything. You just have to figure out some workarounds. What are some ways you can adapt tasks? Are there things you can do seated instead of standing? Can you relocate to do the task in a more comfortable place? Remember, working within your limitations when it comes to illness, disability, or pain does not mean you're lazy. Don't apply standards that don't take into account the realities of your life. Instead, focus on what you can do and have done. Write down some small tasks you can do on especially bad days. Remember, every little bit counts. When you're having a low-energy day, revisit this list as needed. Reward yourself. Pick one thing from each column, do the not fun thing first, and reward yourself with the more fun one after. Not fun. Clear off the nearest table, nightstand, etc. Wash dishes for a few minutes. Put away a few pieces of clothing. Throw away several pieces of trash. Put away a couple things within your reach. Take a shower and change your clothes. More fun. Listen to a song you love. Watch a TV show. Listen to a podcast. Go outside for a few minutes. Eat or drink something delicious. Read a chapter in a good book. Play a game, video, app, etc., that you enjoy. You're better than your mess. Cleaning anxiety. For many people, cleaning can trigger or exacerbate anxiety, sending intrusive or anxious thoughts spiraling out of control and preventing you from making significant progress. It's important to find a balance between getting tasks done and maintaining your mental health. If you're feeling anxious about cleaning up, try looking away from the big picture and focusing on a small task instead. Set some clear boundaries about what you're going to work on and what time frame you're working with. What's one small task you can start and complete within 20 minutes? Start your timer and work on that task. Once you're done, check in with how you're feeling. Overall, how are you feeling after those 20 minutes? Making significant changes in your environment can induce or worsen anxiety, so make sure you check in frequently to see if you're feeling okay. If you get to a point where your anxiety is making it tough to keep going, it's perfectly fine to stop for a while and pick it up again when you're feeling a little more settled. You deserve a nice home. Excuse or reason? We all have justifications for why we don't clean, and we've mostly been conditioned to think of them as excuses. But if you're living with a physical or mental illness, it's important to understand the difference between excuses and reasons. Think about why you don't clean and write down a few things that come to mind. Now consider the following for each of those things. Does it explain why you don't want to do it? Or does it explain why you can't do it? That's the difference between an excuse and a reason. Check off whether each thing is a reason or an excuse. If your justifications are reasons, don't beat yourself up about it. If they're excuses, well, that gives you a place to start when it comes to making changes. There's a lot of judgment wrapped up in keeping a clean home. If you have reasons why you can't, instead of excuses why you don't want to, try not to turn that judgment inward. Instead, brainstorm how you can still accomplish the things that you need to within the framework of what your illness allows. You are capable of great things. Learning the basics. Here's where you'll discover tools for building your systems, necessary habits, big projects. Now that you understand the why, let's get started on the how. Many people get overwhelmed trying to get a handle on how to clean, and many never really learned how. Getting a grip on the basics will make getting your mess under control a much easier project. 2010s. 2010. 20 minutes of cleaning, followed by a 10-minute break. When you think about cleaning, you probably picture an intense day or weekend-long, top-to-bottom marathon session. No wonder you don't want to clean. That sucks. Having to devote an entire day or weekend to something that almost no one enjoys is enough to put you off of it forever. But you can still get your chaos under control without losing an entire day or weekend to it. One of the goals of this journal is to get you to reframe how you look at cleaning. Enter the 2010. 20 minutes of cleaning, followed by a 10-minute break. Tackling your mess in small chunks with breaks in between will help keep you from feeling overwhelmed and will also allow you to get back to doing something way more fun than cleaning your home. Set a timer for 20 minutes and work on whatever mess is closest at hand. Once the timer goes off, stop cleaning and take a 10-minute break. What did you get accomplished in your 20 minutes? What did you do during your 10-minute break? Give yourself permission to stop. 20-minute sprints. Now that you've got the concept of a 2010 down, let's look at how you can use them to get ahead of your mess and get what's already there under control. You don't need to devote an entire day to cleaning. In fact, it's better if you don't. Instead, try to devote just 20 minutes at a time a few times a day, if you can, to picking up, cleaning up, and working on around-the-house projects. List some tasks that you can do in 20 minutes. Then pick one thing from that list, do it, and spend a little while feeling comfortably smug about getting it done. I did not want my tombstone to read, "She kept a really clean house." Ann Richards, High Heels and Backwards. Breaks. Since the 10-minute break is so important, brainstorm a few things you can do with that time. Taking a little time to do something you enjoy can keep you motivated, or at least keep you from hating the cleaning process more than necessary. Here are some suggestions. Add your own ideas that'll give you a few minutes off from kicking your mess's ass. Have a snack. Catch up on your social media. Work on a crossword puzzle. Take a short walk. Play with your pet. Have a little dance party with yourself or with anyone else around, including your pet. Make a cup of tea or coffee or your beverage of choice. Call or text a friend or family member. Her version of cleanliness was next to godliness, which was to say it was erratic, past all understanding, and was seldom seen. Terry Pratchett, Unseen Academicals. Cleaning is a cycle. As much as we'd love to clean something once and be done with it forever, it just doesn't work that way. Which, let's be honest, sucks. Like, a lot. If you live in your home and use the things in it, you're going to need to clean up regularly. Keeping a clean home is a continuous cycle, as much as we all wish it weren't so. But if you have a realistic idea of how often you should repeat certain tasks, you can figure out a cleaning schedule that will work for your life. List some of your most common tasks and how often you should do them. Here's a few to get you started. Dishes, laundry, wash bed sheets, clean bathroom. Few tasks are more like the torture of Sisyphus than housework, with its endless repetition. The clean becomes soiled, the soiled is made clean, over and over, day after day. Simone de Beauvoir. Wash, dry, and put it away. Damn it. Laundry and dishes have three steps. We tend to forget about, or honestly, choose to ignore, the third step, leaving clean clothes and clean dishes languishing, taking up space, and contributing to the clutter, instead of putting them away. Today, when you do your dishes or laundry, plan to give yourself a reward once all steps are complete. What will your reward be? Check off when you complete each step. 1. Wash. 2. Dry. 3. Put it away, damn it. Excuses are boring. Make your bed. Wait, I know you hate making your bed. I know you don't see the point, but hear me out. If you hate making your bed, take a minute to think about why. Which of these apply? It was a punishment, I hated doing it growing up. I don't see the point. I believe an unmade bed allows the mattress to air out. Think about rumpled piles of bedding on an unmade bed and really consider whether that increases airflow to the mattress. Spoiler, it doesn't. The best prevention for dust mites is washing your bedding regularly and vacuuming your mattress periodically. It takes too long. No one else is going to see it. A messy bed makes the whole room look messier and invites more chaos, laundry piling up, dirty sheets, etc. Taking a minute or less to pull the sheets up and straighten the blankets and pillows gives you a little bit of order and helps you establish habits that'll influence the rest of your home. Try making your bed every day for a week. Check off each day once it's done. If you're someone who thinks it takes too long, time yourself to see how long it actually takes. Sink zero. Dishes are the worst. Do you ever feel like you're really finished with them? As soon as they're washed, we make more, and it feels like we'll never catch up. It hardly seems fair, but that's how dishes work, unfortunately. However, there is a way to avoid feeling like you're drowning in dirty dishes. Once a day, aim to hit sink zero when all of your dishes are dealt with, either hand-washed or put in the dishwasher. It may be for just a fleeting moment, but that's okay. 1 minute when you're totally caught up on your dishes is better than never getting there at all. Every day for a week, record the time that you hit sink zero. Missed a day? Don't worry. Tomorrow is a brand new chance to hit sink zero. Those dishes aren't going to wash themselves. It's okay to hate it, but you still have to do it. Unfuck tomorrow morning. Are your mornings pure chaos, with you scrambling to get everything together in a few scant minutes before you fly out the door, stressed out and almost definitely forgetting something? Give tomorrow you a gift by unfucking your morning the night before, and watch how much easier your mornings can get. Wash the dishes in your sink. Get your outfit for tomorrow together. Set up coffee, tea, breakfast. Make your lunch. Put your keys somewhere obvious. Take your meds. Set them out for tomorrow. Charge your electronics. Put a little cleaner in the toilet bowl. Set your alarm. Go to bed at a reasonable hour. If you find yourself overwhelmed in the morning, a little bit of effort tonight can keep you on track for a calm, easy start to your day tomorrow. Do one thing every time you leave or enter a room. A great way to keep from drowning in your own crap is to try to do something to improve a room each time you enter or leave it. It can be something very small, like putting one or two items away, or something a bit more involved, like wiping down a counter. Label the rooms in your home and list what you could do in each one. With enough repetition, these little tasks will turn into regular habits and will give you the chance to get ahead of your mess before it gets ahead of you. Every little bit counts. Keep your flat surfaces clear. Flat surfaces tend to accumulate a lot of junk. Cluttered counters, tables, and other flat surfaces can make your whole environment look a lot messier, but cleaning them up can make everything seem a whole lot cleaner right away. What's your messiest flat surface? Go ahead and clear it off. Give yourself a big old check mark once that's done. Do it now. Don't leave it for later. Now, challenge yourself to keep it clear every day for a week. Check off each day once it's done. If you didn't get it done a day, or two, or more, jot down why. Use your waiting time wisely. Every day, we end up doing a lot of waiting around, and those short little amounts of waiting time can be used productively. For example, if you need to wait for your coffee to brew, you can use those few minutes to wipe down countertops or wash some dishes. Think about times during your day that you need to wait for a few minutes, or more, waiting for the shower to heat up, dinner cooking in the oven, etc. Then, come up with a few ideas of what you can do with that time. Small changes make a huge difference. Do something every day. Even on your busiest days, doing just a little bit will make a big difference. You may not have more than a few minutes to devote to cleaning up, but anything you can do will make a difference and keep you in the habit of actually doing something. For 1 week, keep track of something around the house that you manage to get done each day, no matter how small it seems. You don't have to do much. You just have to do something. Move slowly, but move forward. Get in the habit. In order to get something done every day, you may need to schedule it into your day, even if it's just mentally. For example, some people like to do not favorite tasks like cleaning first thing in the morning so it's over and done with and they don't have to worry about it for the rest of the day. Some people find they're more productive right at the end of a work or school day before they change clothes and change gears into relaxation mode. Where in your day do you think you can find 20 minutes to devote to cleaning up? The internet will still be there in 20 minutes. Every day for a week, try doing something during that 20-minute window. Write down what you got done, or if you didn't manage it, write down what prevented you from doing it. Time to go be a badass. Invisible corners. Invisible corner. Any pile or accumulation of household crap that's been there so long that it no longer registers when you look around. The pile on the end of the kitchen counter, all that stuff on the chair in the bedroom, those random boxes in the corner of the living room, that shelf that keeps collecting stuff. Invisible corners have become such a part of the landscape that you've probably forgotten they need to be dealt with. But even though you might not consciously see them, they're still there, and they still need to be cleaned up. Identify one invisible corner. Set a timer for 20 minutes and work on getting every one of the items in that invisible corner back where it belongs. Check off when those 20 minutes have passed. If 20 minutes isn't enough, take a 10-minute break and repeat until the invisible corner is vanquished. Look around. What are some other invisible corners you can deal with? Your stuff is hiding in plain sight. Solving storage. One of the most common contributors to messy spaces is a lack of storage or an impractical storage space. Once you get your storage under control, keeping the mess to a minimum will get a whole hell of a lot easier. To determine the best place to store items that currently don't have a home, ask yourself the following questions. How often do I use this item? Where do I use it? Is there somewhere logical to store it that's near where I use it? If not, can I create a logical place to put it? If your storage space is convenient, you're more likely to put things away because it's easy. Keep that in mind and make sure your infrequently used items aren't taking up precious, easily accessed storage space that could be used for more frequently used things. Imagine an empty storage space in your home. Fill it, neatly, with items that need a new home. Rule of five. There will be days when your time is in short supply and you can't even carve out enough for a 2010. Maybe you think you can't make a difference without investing a lot of time, but you might be surprised at what you can get accomplished in almost no time at all. Here are some ideas for five things you can do in 5 minutes or less. 1. Throw away 5 pieces of trash. 2. Wash 5 dishes. 3. Put away 5 items of clothing. 4. Do a 5-minute cleaning blitz in any room. 5. Find 5 things that aren't where they belong and put them away. What are 5 more things you can do quickly? List them. Housekeeping ain't no joke. Louisa May Alcott, Little Women. Name the thing that scares you. It's not always just the everyday tasks that stop us in our tracks. We all have something big and intimidating that we know we need to work on, but we can't wrap our heads around the task to get started. What task or project is most overwhelming to you right now? How do you feel when you think about starting it? How do you think you'll feel once it's done? This is your big project, and you're going to conquer it. Give your big project a name. You can swear. We won't tell anyone. Write it down. You can nap when you're done. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you tackle a big project? The very same way. A big project is really just a series of little projects, and little projects are easy. Well, they're easy-ish. Easier, at least. What are the first 3 steps you need to get started on that overwhelming task? Be specific and make those 3 steps as small as you can. For example, gather your supplies together, or collect all the trash or dishes, or start 1 load of laundry. Now that you have your first steps identified, go do step 1. First check-in. How long did it take? How do you feel now? Does the task still feel intimidating? Now move on to step 2. After you've done your first 20 minutes of work, check back in. How does it feel to finally get going on your big project? Second check-in. What did you get done? What do you need to do next? How are you feeling about your project now? Continue working 20 minutes at a time, taking a 10-minute break in between until the project is done. This may take days or even weeks, depending on the scope of the project. But you're going to use the same 2010 method throughout until it's complete. Challenges. Now that you have the basics down, it's time to put them into practice. The following challenges will help you turn those basics into habits while making real progress in the meantime. Mini challenges, keeping it up, unfuck your weekend. Mini challenges. Only have a few minutes to spare? Try one of the mini challenges coming up. They don't take a lot of time, but when added up, they'll make a big difference. Set a timer for 5 or 10 minutes and do what you can before the timer goes off. You might not get everything done, but you'll make a dent. Get shit done. Mini challenges. Pick one shelf or surface that's cluttered or dirty and clean it off. Collect any trash or dishes from the room you're in. Wash the dishes and properly dispose of the trash. Make your bed. Pull up the bedding, straighten the pillows, and tuck everything in to look neat if you're feeling fancy. Clean the microwave or stovetop, or both. Put away everything around your front door or entrance to your home, shoes, jackets, bags, etc. Change out your hand and dish towels for clean ones. Put away clean laundry or dishes. Dust a few surfaces of the room you're in. Don't forget to look up in the corners and down to the baseboards, where dust can accumulate but rarely gets dealt with. Wipe down door handles, faucets, and light switches. Germs, grime, and dirt love to hang out there. Sweep, vacuum, or mop the floor of one room. Get in all the corners and underneath whatever you can get to. Look around. Find 10 things that aren't where they belong and put them away. Collect all your trash and recycling and take it out. Clean out your wallet, purse, book bag. Clean and organize one shelf of your fridge or pantry. Get rid of anything expired or spoiled. The reset. Once you've tackled a space and cleaned it up, you're going to want to keep it that clean forever, which is great, but it doesn't just magically happen. It requires a little effort on your part, which is sort of annoying, but fortunately not too difficult. Behold the reset. Each day, spend just a few minutes getting that space back to clean. A few minutes each day will prevent the need for a massive cleanup all at once. Pick a space that tends to get cluttered and overwhelming and identify it. Working 20 minutes at a time, clear it off and clean it up. How long did it take in total? Now, every day for a week, reset that space back to clean. Record how long it takes each day. Don't put it down, put it away. Take a picture, it'll last longer. Sometimes when you're in the middle of cleaning, it's difficult to see the progress you've made. If you're making incremental changes, you tend not to notice them, which can be really frustrating. Having photographic proof of where you started to compare to where you are now helps you see how much of a dent you've made. It also gives you a reminder of what a room or an area can look like when it's clean, which can be helpful when you feel like things are never going to get better again. What's the room or area that's stressing you out the most? Take a picture of it as it is now and stick it where you will see it often, or draw your best artist's rendition. This is your before. How do you feel when you look at this picture? It's okay if your answer is just a string of profanities. Do 20 minutes of work on this area and take another picture. Can you see the progress you've made? How do you feel about it now? Continue working on it 20 minutes at a time, taking a 10-minute break in between, and keep documenting your progress with pictures. Unfuck your weekend. As much as we try to avoid marathon cleaning, the truth of the matter is that sometimes you need to fit the bulk of your cleaning into the short time you have off from real life, trademark. That's where Unfuck Your Weekend comes in. Each day only requires a few hours worth of work, leaving you with your freedom for the rest of the day. If you don't have an actual weekend, it's completely fine to do these challenges over the course of 2 random days, whatever works for you and your life. Coming up are sets of challenges for each day of your weekend. Do what you can for each challenge in 20 minutes, then take a 10-minute break after each one. You can take more time if you need, but make sure it's a set amount of time and that you're taking breaks in between. It might not be perfect when you're done, but it'll be much better. Day 1. Challenge 1. Getting started. We're going to start with something fairly easy for your first 20 minutes. Do what you can in that time, and if part of the challenge doesn't apply to you, find something similar to do during that time. Get out of bed. If you have immediate access to a washing machine, strip your bedding and start a load of laundry. If you don't, make your bed. Round out your 20 minutes by doing some dishes or loading or emptying and reloading your dishwasher. Not sure what to do with your 10-minute break? Use this time to jot down your thoughts on this challenge. Did you get everything done, or did you skip a step or two? Did you do something else instead? How do you feel with your first challenge completed? Challenge 2, to the kitchen. This 20 minutes, head to the kitchen for some basic cleaning and maintenance. Clear items off countertops and wipe the counters down. Clean off the stovetop. Look around for any out-of-place items or messes that need to be dealt with and deal with them. Continue washing dishes if necessary for the rest of your 20 minutes. How did you do with this challenge? Challenge 3, bathroom break. We're headed to the bathroom next for a basic wipe down and surface clean. First, if you threw laundry in during challenge 1, check if it's ready for the dryer. Fill the tub and sink with hot water and cleaner. Pour a little cleaner in the toilet bowl. Wipe down all surfaces. Put things away if they aren't in their homes. Empty the trash. Sweep the floor. Scrub the toilet and wipe down the seat and surfaces. Finally, drain the sink and tub and wipe them down. Do you feel like you got a fair amount accomplished in 20 minutes, or did this challenge take longer? What are some things you can do on a daily basis to make your bathroom cleaning go faster? Challenge 4, conquering the floordrobe. Head to the bedroom for your next 20 minutes, where you'll deal with your laundry, both clean and dirty. If you have a floordrobe, or chairdrobe, or bedrobe, now is the time to reintroduce your clothes to the closet or dresser. Collect dirty laundry and put it in the appropriate receptacle. Put away shoes, bags, and other accessories that aren't where they belong. Put away clean laundry that's in baskets, on furniture, or strewn across the floor. Did you have too much laundry to fully deal with in 20 minutes? What ideas do you have to make putting laundry away less of an ordeal? Challenge 5, back to the bedroom. For this 20 minutes, focus on your bedroom's flat surfaces. Clear off your dresser. Put away or straighten up all the items on your nightstand. Clear and straighten any shelves. Give all those flat surfaces a good dusting. How are you feeling about your bedroom after spending 2 20-minute challenges in it? Challenge 6, laundry or freestyle challenge. Now it's time to deal with your laundry area, if you have one. If you don't, you can revisit an earlier challenge you didn't get to complete. If you have a laundry room area, if you have a load of laundry in, check if it's dry yet.